NBC presents, transcribed, Frank Lovejoy in... Night Beat.
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the Night Beat for the Chicago Star. You never know when there's magic in a story. I mean the magic that takes a routine yarn and suddenly electrifies the whole country, giving the good people an emotional bath. You take the story of Jody Levering, age 5, going on 6. At noon Sunday, the Lost Boy report came in, just one of 40 or 50 on a normal day. But the boy hadn't been found by 8 o'clock that night. And then the story broke on the other side of town, down among the lower bistro set in Lost Man's Canyon, where an ancient church with its tall spire benignly spreads its protection over a neighborhood that consists of missions, pawn shops, buy-your-shoes or the shirt-off-your-back second-hand stores, 5 and 10 Muscatel shops, and honky-tonks. Jody Levering, 5, going on 6, missing. And in the church, Father Clary was preparing for evening prayers. Miss Gately, the organist, was at the organ when the old caretaker wandered through the vestibule.
Time to ring the bell, Father?
Certainly, John.
Good. Here we go. My gosh. Father?
Yes, John, what is it?
There's something wrong up in the tower. The bell doesn't...
Oh, let me try.
You stay.
Well, first time I've ever had trouble with it.
Guess I better go up.
You be careful. Those wooden steps.
I haven't been up for a long time, have I? I'll get the bell fixed in a jiffy.
It was a friendly sort of church over 60 years old, with the kind of stained glass windows and rows of worn benches you rarely see anymore. The organ was on the right side of the altar, and behind it was the door that opened onto the rickety wooden stairs leading up 65 feet to the belfry. Father Clary stood at the bottom of the circular stairway and peered up into the darkness of the bell tower as John, puffing and sighing, reached the top. And suddenly...
John! John, are you all right? Oh, I told you to be careful.
Bush. Bush.
What?
Stay out! Stay out!
Who is it? Who's up there?
Stay away, you hear? If you even try to come near me, I'll kill the boy!
That's the way it broke. Jody Levering, 5, going on 6, no longer missing. Now found in the bell tower of the Church of St. Francis. But how do you get him down? A man up there with him who didn't think twice about pushing an old man down a 65-foot stairway. The extras hit the street inside of 7 minutes. Child hostage in church tower. That was the magic. It went over the wire services. Inside of 12 minutes, it had spread from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from Mexico to Canada. And before the extras had hit the street, the people of the night had drifted out of the bars, the Muscatel shops, the tattoo emporiums, and dark doorways. And they'd congregated on the sidewalks and flowed over into the street. Their necks craned upward, up to the belfry of the old church. The police threw a cordon around the church, and the fire department was there with ladders and nets, equipment for catching a falling body.
I know who the man is, Randy.
No, not yet.
And what'd he come here for?
It'll be interesting to find out. Sterling! Lieutenant Sterling!
Hey, yeah, what is it, Storm?
Anything I can do?
Yeah, keep out of the way.
Who is it up there?
How do I know? Look, don't get underfoot. This is tough.
Get that mic around the front, Sergeant. I want the loudspeaker set over here.
He can't last up there.
No, neither can the boy.
Yeah, it's just a question of hanging around until something happens. Cut and dry, they'll toss in some tear gas and it'll be all over.
If you were up there, what would you use to protect yourself?
The boy.
Yeah, the boy.
But the guy's a sucker. He can't get away with it.
Well, sure he can't, but what about the boy? Police can't do anything if it'll hurt that kid. That killer's got more protection up there than an armory you've given him.
This is the police. Hello up there. You have no way out. You might as well come down peacefully. Give up the child. You're entirely surrounded. There's no way out for you.
Mark! Mark! Here he is! He's alive!
He was holding the boy out of the tiny window up at the top of the tower. And suddenly, no one was breathing. No one in that whole crowd all around me. The child dangling in space 65 feet from the ground.
But if you come near me, I'll drop you! If you show anything at all!
He pulled the boy back into the tower. Everybody began to breathe again, a little shocked, a little thrilled too.
What a picture that would make, huh, Stone?
You know where I can get some binoculars, Harry?
Huh? Binoculars?
Yeah, I might be able to see into the window of that tower. From the top of that building down the street.
Hey, that's right. It is about the same height.
It'd help if we knew what he was doing.
Yeah, binoculars. Yeah. Yeah, Beckett, turf column.
Can you reach him?
I'll give him a buzz.
Listen, okay. If you'll come down, it'll save us all a lot of time and trouble. Do you hear me up there?
Keep the monk alive.
Won't do any good now. Maybe later. Connors.
Yes, sir.
Get those searchlights on.
Yes, sir. Light them.
Hey, Lieutenant, if we could get a tear gas bomb in that window, I got a pretty good throwing arm.
Even if you were Grover, Cleveland, Alexander, what have you missed?
Oh, it was inspirational. That magic in a story all around me, standing on the sidewalk across from the Church of St. Francis. Looking up where the cones of light speared the tiny window. And then something real came out of the crowd. The child's mother.
Jody, my baby.
Mrs. Levering, it'd be better if you didn't... Connors.
Yes?
Henry.
See if she stays in my car. Have someone stay with her.
Jody.
Oh. Where's your husband, Mrs. Levering?
Joe?
Your husband. Where is he?
Where?
Connors, take care of her. I want those lights kept up there on the
my
tower.
My husband's not here. In New York, I'm busy. Jody!
We're going to save him, Mrs. Levering.
Hello, Father.
Mr. Stone.
How's the old gentleman who was knocked down the stairs?
Oh, John, his legs are broken, but he'll be all right.
Any way to get up there, Father? Back way or anything?
Just the wooden stairs, Lieutenant, as far as I know. There are some musty old rooms and hallways downstairs. You know how they built a church 60 years ago.
Yeah.
Lieutenant, I'm going up.
Going up? Where?
Up the wooden stairs inside the church to the belfry.
But
I can't leave that child up there. I can't.
It's dangerous, Father.
It's dangerous not going up, Mr. Stone.
But, Father...
No. I'll be all right. He won't harm me.
Father Clary went back inside the church and I followed him. He went down the long aisle, past the organ, and through the door. I stood and watched him start up the rickety stairs. He wouldn't let me go with him. He wouldn't let me talk him out of it. A short and stocky man, puffing a little, past 60, holding onto the flimsy railing as he went up and up the circular stairs. What do you do? What kind of logic do you use? Surround the church, get the fire department nets out, try to think of everything the maniac up there could think of, but no way to prevent Jody Levering's death. Sure, you could get him, but how long would it take to throw a 40-pound child out of a stone window? In which direction would he throw it? How far out? Do you play games with a child's life?
I said don't come up here! I'll kill him!
Father Clary's footsteps stopped, and he began talking. I couldn't hear the words. I know what they were, but I couldn't hear them. I didn't have to go outside to know what was happening. Holding him out the window, threatening to throw the child. I looked up into the blackness of the bell tower. Father Clary was coming down. And at the bottom, my reporter friend had a cameraman ready to get some pictures of Father Clary.
Now take it from that angle, Angie. Get a shot of Father Clary's face.
Not missing any bets, huh, Harry?
Oh, hello, Randy. I got those binoculars for you. Here he comes, Angie. He'll be tired. Get an angle on the face. I want his eyes. I want to see the defeat. Father!
Not a picture.
Get it, Angie. What'd he say, Father?
He wouldn't kill me. He wasn't interested in killing me.
Yeah, but what did he say?
Mr. Stone, what can we do?
Were you able to see him, Father?
Oh, it was too dark.
His voice, young, old?
Can I have another shot of you, Father?
His voice? How can you tell?
Sick?
Yes, sick. His soul is sick.
How about it, Father? Another picture?
Outside the church in the street, the crowd kept growing, pushed back by the police. Dark faces in a dark night, their eyes roving incessantly, a little undercurrent in them. What do they think, these people? Do they think like Mrs. Levering, who can't think anything because there's the white heat of fear in her? Jody, 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 that's all. Just a name, 5 going on 6. What do you think, you eating a sandwich, and you smoking a pipe? A pipe that's for chess, for reading, for a gentle kind of thinking. What's in your mind, stranger? What are you thinking about puffing your pipe? And you, lady, what's on your mind?
Somebody climb around the other side and come in through the window. I don't understand why they don't
do something. Absolutely right. I think you're
honest. Who stays out in the night? Who stays out and crowds the street and spills out into the gutter, rubbernecks to be in on the kill? It was easy to spot the people from the other side of town, the ones who didn't belong around this two-bit burlesque free soup kitchen district. Their jacket and trousers matched from the other side of town, but no different from this side. Everybody the same eyes shining, the same taut expectancy in their upturned faces.
All ready? What about it? We're going to use those binoculars?
Mr. Stone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go.
I'll tell the lieutenant. I'll meet you up on the roof.
Okay.
Randy Stone?
Yeah.
My name is Ralph Benton, Mr. Stone.
Oh?
University of Chicago. I'm taking a PhD in psychiatry.
Oh, yeah.
No, wait. Will you look? This is what I'm studying. This. The psychology of that man up there.
Oh, later on,
no,
son.
From the time they're children, patterns, behavior patterns, you can tell them.
Sure. I'll see you.
No, wait. Look, I've got to tell somebody about it.
About what?
This is the time when something can be done. People aroused.
Can be done about what?
That kind of a man, Mr. Stone. The psychopath.
Uh-huh. Well, who does what about it?
Well, the people have to do it. They're sick. That kind of person is just sick. You can help through your column.
Yeah, well, it won't help right now up there. I'll see you later.
No, look, Mr. Stone, I've got a plan. That building on the next block, from the roof.
What about it?
Well, it's right on a line with the church belfry. Now, if you had a rifle with telescopic sights, and you waited for the right chance.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that might work.
Listen to me. Listen. You've got no chance up there. You haven't done anything yet. Don't do anything foolish. Come down. We won't harm you.
Why doesn't he answer?
He doesn't want to show himself.
Oh, yeah.
A rifle. One shot. It would have to be one shot. It would have to kill him instantly. Or he'd kill the boy.
NBC is bringing you Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. We have three fellows we'd like you to meet. I'm speaking about Malone, Kane, and the man called X. Each is in the same business, and a dangerous business it is, outthinking and many times outgunning national as well as international criminals. Make a listening reminder to hear The Amazing Mr. Malone and The Man Called X on Friday, and beginning Sunday, July 1st, Martin Kane, Private Eye. Three invitations to high adventure over NBC.
And now back to Nightbeat and Randy Stone.
I told Lieutenant Sterling about the rifle and the binoculars, and he thought it might be a chance. Risky, because the first shot would have to be the only shot, but a chance. I went to a cigar store on the corner, into a phone booth, and dialed the Southside Hunting Club. I wanted Charlie Peterson, the national champion rifle marksman, and I was lucky. He was there in the club room. I told him what I wanted.
Of course, Randy. I'll have to pick up my gun at the club downstairs in the shop. I left it for a minor adjustment on the sights. I'll meet you on the roof in 15 minutes.
You want to know what it looked like from the top of that building down the street? There were these searchlights pinpointing the stone tower and the tiny windows at the top. No glass of frame other than the cold stone itself. And down below, the fire trucks, the police cars, the crowd of people milling around, their faces turned upward. Occasionally in the darkness, you could see the flash of a photographer's bulb. And over the whole scene, there was a restlessness, because up there was a man and a boy. And death was electric in the air. Lieutenant Sterling and Officer Connors were up on the rooftop with me, waiting for Peterson, the rifle marksman, to join us.
You see anything with those binoculars, Stone?
No. I can't see inside the tower. It's just a black hole.
How's Peterson going to aim?
I don't know. There was a way to get some light.
Searchlight?
Yeah, right up here on this roof. It's on a level with that belfry.
Well, we can try. Connors.
Yes?
Let's get a searchlight up here.
It wasn't as simple as it sounded. The firemen worked with the police in rigging up a block and tackle. They put it on the far side of the roof so that the man in the tower couldn't see what was going on if he happened to look our way. In the middle of the preparations, Charlie Peterson arrived, and we had to explain everything to him. And it was quite a lot of explaining.
Sure, I understand. You're going to flash that searchlight on the tower window, and when he sticks his head out, I shoot.
That's right. You shoot once.
About 200 yards. Wish I'd been able to check these sights. Wind drift past 7 miles set it off about 2 inches at 200 yards.
It can't be a near miss, Peterson. If you only wound him, it'll be the end of the child.
200 yards. When are you going to set up that light?
Well, it's being set up now.
When you spot that window, I'll be able to get a good bead.
We can't spot it, Peterson.
Huh?
The minute we throw the spotlight in that window and light up the tower, he'll probably react.
Take it out on the kid.
So we've got to wait until you're ready. When we snap on the light, you've got to be set to fire immediately. We can't even afford to miss the window with the light the first time.
Oh, I see.
You understand it now?
The rifle was in the shop. It's supposed to be true now. It was a 2-inch drift. But even a half inch.
Even a half inch. How big is the heart?
2.5, 3 inches.
200 yards. Maybe I'd better use a kneeling position. Steady.
Whatever's most comfortable.
Well, prone's the best, but...
Yeah, I know. I know you can lie down the wall. This is an awful responsibility, Lieutenant. If someone were on the PA and got to talking to him, maybe he'd show at the window.
Connors... Get down there and make with a loudspeaker, huh?
Yes, sir.
Just one shot. It could be a bullseye and still not kill him. Can you see anything over there with the glasses, Stone?
No. How about it, Sterling? Are we almost ready?
Almost.
All right, Peterson?
All right. Stone.
Yeah?
This is the only way that there's no other way, nothing else to do?
Nothing that we know of. Sure, it's a gamble, but it's a bigger gamble just waiting for him to do something.
Sure.
It's no disgrace to back out, Peterson.
Games? I only played games with a rifle.
Well, this isn't a game.
Rifle fixed at the shop. Even a half inch miss, I could still hit the bullseye and not kill him.
It isn't a disgrace.
I...
You up there?
That's Connors. Ready, Mr. Peterson?
Release the boy.
Yeah.
I'll give you a three count. When I get to three, you switch on the light, Sterling.
Right.
If the boy is...
You'll do it, Peterson. I'll have my glasses ready. Okay, Sterling?
Go ahead.
You up there?
I'm ready.
One. Two. Three.
Release the boy.
Lights.
Shoot, man, shoot.
I can't see.
Hold it. The window, it's boarded up. He put a board in the window.
I don't think I could have pressed the trigger. I don't think I could have.
That was the end of the roof experiment. Peterson left and Sterling and I went back down to the street. I started through the crowd, dark faces still upturned. And Sterling went back to the PA.
Why don't they do something? I left Billy sitting in the booth and I said I'd be right back, but I can't go back in. I just can't go away. Something might happen so that I turn my back on.
You haven't killed anyone. You haven't done anything really wrong yet. Come down.
Do you think he's...
You won't be hurt. You have our word.
Do you think he's going to listen? He's scared stiff up there. I remember one time I locked myself in the room when I was a kid and my folks hammered at the door. I couldn't move. I was
going to be dead. Hello, Mr. Stone.
Oh.
Mr. Stone,
yeah.
Do you remember the Hirons case? Well, they follow a pattern. This man broke into a house. He was caught. And to prevent himself being found out, he killed.
Yeah, I remember. But you were kind of young when it happened.
15, but I'm studying it now in class. This man loves it up there. All the fear in him, the hate for the world. He'll show him.
What did you say your name is?
Benton, Ralph Benton. I've got some theories.
Okay, maybe they're theories. What are they?
He doesn't want to kill. He'll only do it if he's forced to. You've got to understand the ego. He feels as though the whole world's against him. He's got to prove himself. It starts out with bragging and... then he feels sorry for himself. Nobody loves him. From infancy on, you can trace that in him. When he's 7, 8, 10, 12, building all the time, going from stealing something because he's putting something over on the world. Not because he wants what he steals.
You sound like a textbook.
Well, I tell you, Mr. Stone, I've studied. I'm majoring in it. When you understand the psychology of that kind of man, you can find a way to overcome him.
All right. What's your idea?
Everybody leave him alone.
Leave him alone?
Yes. Simple, isn't it? You see, if everybody goes away, the limelight will disappear. He hears that voice on the loudspeaker, and it swells his ego. That's what he wants. He's saying to himself, it's me. It's me. All this fuss and bother, it's for me.
So take away this fuss and bother, and you think he won't harm the boy?
Yes, that's right. He's sick up there. Don't you see? Sick in his mind. Insane, but the law doesn't say he's insane. The law says a person is insane when he can't tell right from wrong. But this man knows the difference between right and wrong, so the law says he's sane.
All right, then what is it?
Well, I say he's insane. He can tell right from wrong, but he can't control himself. He can't keep himself from doing wrong. Isn't that being sick, Mr. Stone?
But why would this man take a young boy along with him?
Well... Maybe the boy saw him.
You mean saw him stealing?
Yes, that's right.
Then what?
Maybe he lived around that neighborhood and the man would be exposed as a thief. So what does he do? He wants to protect himself. He doesn't want to kill the boy, but he doesn't want the boy to tell who broke into the house. So, well, what can he do?
Look, let's push through here. I want to speak to Father Cleary.
Don't you see? Don't you understand? He doesn't want to kill the boy, but all these people are forcing him into it. It's a challenge to his ego. They'll sit up then and take notice. So, look, why don't we leave him alone? Go away. Just everybody go away and take the center of attraction away from him. And then...
He doesn't want to kill?
No.
sure of that?
Sure.
There we are. Let's go inside.
It's so quiet in here.
Yeah. Hello, Father.
Is there anything new, Randy?
Maybe. Let's go over there, Ralph.
Yeah.
Another element of the psychopath, Ralph, is that he likes to flirt with danger. Unless people know him as an individual, he doesn't get any pleasure out of being the center of attraction.
Yes.
Right here. First, you tell me a rifle shot is a good way to stop him. And then you put a board over the window. That told me, Ralph. That told me.
I knew it would.
How did you get down from the belfry?
An old passageway down in the basement through the tunnel that leads to Father Cleary's house behind the church.
Uh-huh.
You can kneel if you want to, son. It'll be easier that way.
Yes, Father. I want to kneel.
It's all right now, Randy.
Thank you, Father. I'm going upstairs and get Jody Levering. So it was sanctuary after all, wasn't it? Jody was unharmed, frightened, though. It left a deeper scar on his mother and father. It left a scar on me, too. I wonder how many of those people out there on the street felt cheated. Nothing happened. Nothing. No murder. No killing. Nobody thrown out of the tower. All it was that somebody came to church for sanctuary. Yep. Copy, boy.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy, is produced and directed by Warren Lewis. Tonight's transcribed story was written by Celie Glester and Merwin Gerard, with music by Robert Armbruster. The part of Benton was played by Stacey Harris. Others in tonight's cast were Joan Banks, Norman Field, John Stevenson, Harry Bartell, Jack Crucian, and Ted DeCorsia. Frank Lovejoy can currently be seen co-starring with Joan Crawford and Robert Young in Warner Brothers' Goodbye, My Fancy. Listen next week at this time and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness. Nightbeat came to you from Hollywood.
It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC.
Beginning in 2 weeks, another top mystery show, Martin Kane, Private Eye, joins your NBC lineup. And here is the star of this new series, one of your favorite motion picture actors, Lloyd Nolan.
Thank you. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, on Sunday, July 1st, I'll be on hand as Martin Kane, Private Eye, my new role on this same station.
Listen to Lloyd Nolan as Martin Kane, Private Eye, on this same NBC station every Sunday beginning July 1st.